Blog Talk Radio.
The views, opinions, and statements made by callers are not necessarily the beliefs of the Professional Association of City Employees, PACE, the National Association of Government Employees, its officials, agents, or employees, the union. This show is for the purpose of airing opinion, concerns, and general commentary among PACE union members. The views expressed are solely those of the caller and do not automatically represent the policies, position, or view of the union. It may not be construed as legal advice. Top of the day to you, everybody. How are you today? This is Radio Connections with PACE, your host, Gina Pagnotta Murphy, and
your co-host, Ebony Walton.
Good to see you, Ebony.
How are you, Gina?
Well, I'm just sitting here looking at you, sniffling and snorting, and I'm trying to make sure that we're way apart from each other because you know
It's allergies, Gina.
That's what they say.
It's allergies.
But I got some four nays and some Dimetapp or something for you if you need it.
I'm going to take it in a minute. Okay, take it in a minute.
But just for the listeners out there, we are masking and social distancing.
Yes,
so we're doing the best we can to bring you the news and topics of the city of Atlanta and what's going out there in that world of city employees and what's happening. So how's your week been?
My week has been pretty good. I've been on vacation since about a week now. I go back tomorrow, so I've had a week vacation.
Oh.
But I've been busy every day.
Oh, well, that's not a vacation.
No, it's not. But okay. I've been busy every single day.
Every single day.
Every day except Sunday I was kind of not busy, but that's okay.
All right. Well, let me say this. First of all, it's time for us to, on a solemn note, we have some members who have lost some loved ones, and we would like to send our condolences out to Katrina Jefferson and David Chelsea Jr., who lost their grandmother, beloved grandmother. And we hope that the family, we will be reaching out to them and making sure that they're okay in spirit and mind through all of this is going on. We also want to say goodwill to all of our members who are out there sick. And we know, especially Terry Moon, one of our executive board officers, and he's doing a lot better. But Terry, you hang in there. We're all praying for you that you get better. And all of the other persons, and if you have a member that you know, an employee that have lost someone and want to have a shout out to that family every Tuesday from 1 to 2, or you know someone is sick, please give us a call and let us know. 678-414-8982, or Ebony, what's your number?
470-446-1740.
Absolutely. And the inspiration for the day, which leads me to believe that we need to have, is, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, Psalms 31:19. Now, last week I was telling everybody that we had a song called, remember my song?
No, I do not. But I remember you singing it. I don't remember.
Cisco Kid by Wolf.
Cisco Kid.
Okay. That's a good song to get you in the good spirits. But when you're feeling down and you're having a lot of stress and anxiety, and it just doesn't seem the world is right and bright for you, the song for the week for everyone out there listening is I Look to You by Whitney Houston. I listened to that song. Someone told me to listen to that song, and I did. And, oh, my goodness, I bawled. I got it. I cried out. But it was so inspirational because it gave me a moment to reflect and think about the Lord above. So all of you guys, when you're feeling down and you need that extra boost, listen to that song, I Look to You by Whitney Houston, and get your cry out and get your prayer on. That helps us through the day.
Now, you know what my song is? I like Fred Hammond. That's okay. I like Fred Hammond. It takes my minute sometimes. I like Fred Hammond, No Weapon.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Oh, it's so nice.
So we need to kind of put that on there.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. So what's been going on in the city, Gina?
Well, I see. Where did we want to begin?
Well, we do have our person that's running up this year. We know who one of the people that's running for mayor this year, right?
And who is that?
Miss Felicia Moore.
Oh, wow.
City Council President Felicia Moore.
Okay, Miss Felicia Moore. Yay, Miss Felicia Moore is deciding to run for president, mayor.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. And do we know anybody else that's running?
That actually put it out? I'm not sure. That's the only one right now that I know that's actually stated and put it out there that they are running.
Okay. Could it be? I think I heard maybe Kwanzaa, but I'm not going to put that in the universe because I don't know for sure. But we know for sure for that President Felicia Moy is going to be put her hat in for the mayoral race. So this is going to be very interesting. Very interesting. So we'll see maybe next week or two that other people will come in and put their hat in.
We'll see. We'll have more to talk about once we see who else is going to be running. But I'm glad she is running. I really like her.
Okay, so let's talk about a little bit of the stress and anxiety. I remember last week a lot of folks called in and they listened and they wanted to talk and hear more about stress and anxiety. So I found that the book is called The 7-Week Plan of the Stress and Anxiety.
You didn't bring it.
No, but I bought the list, the name of it.
Okay.
And the name of that book is The Anxiety Workbook. It's called The Anxiety Workbook, and it's by Afflin Cunick, A-F-L-I-N-C-U-N-I-C-M-A. It's a 7-week work plan to overcome anxiety. I worked on it, and it was pretty good. I really, really, truly liked it, and it helps you to get engaged with your anxiety and stress. It gives you some little things to do and the topics. And teaching you what's going on with you. Some of you call me and you say, how do you deal with stress, Gina? And I use the workbook. Thank you for giving that to me, Ebony.
You're welcome.
So I'm broadcasting this out there again. That's the Anxiety Workbook by Afflin Cunick, M.A. So
now let me tell you, I had an employee to call me earlier this week, last week, I believe it was. And just from the sound of the tone of her voice, I knew something was going on. So it's just accumulation of things with COVID all of this whole week or the whole past year that has been going on. And she was just at wit's end. She really was at wit's end. And a lot of them feeling like it's that this COVID thing is staying for a while. It's not going anywhere. They have more strands of it. It's staying. And with the stress of that, going to work, even myself, I found, like I said last week, but I've been off for a week. But just going in, once you get there, you're fine. But it's that initial trying to get there and wrap your mind around those people that, you know, you might go in and come back with COVID. You just never know. So anyway, I just encourage her to just stay communicating. Keep talking. Just keep talking, expressing her feelings and emotions about what's going on. And don't hide all of that stuff or harbor it within you, because that's what causes your stress too.
Well, the stress and anxiety of it all is that the COVID is seemingly going to be here.
Yes.
Eventually, I'm praying that it's going to wane off. Don't know how far along down the line, but it's going to wind up being like the flu. Everybody won't get it. Some people will get it. Some people will get it severely more than others. And but right now, because it's a new virus and a new strain that caught us all by surprise, we don't know what's going on, and they got different variances of it. So we're not sure how long, but I really truly believe it's not going anywhere. I just think it's going to dissipate once we get vaccinations, that people are still 50-50, I want it, I don't want it, or once they, you know. But I don't see us really, in my opinion, this waiting down for another 6 months. I really don't. I think the numbers are coming down nationally, so I'm hearing, but you still got your spikes in certain states.
Yeah.
But with this new variant coming, that's real scary.
It is.
You know, because it's like, okay, is somebody playing games with us? Now, let me tell you something that's a little funny, but it's not funny, because this is not a funny thing, but I got to say this. My daughter says this is something being done from the aliens that's out of space. Now, I laughed at it, but then if you're an illogical thinking person, you would tend to believe that, because number one, I did see some UFOs in my lifetime. I have specifically seen UFOs, so they're out there, okay? No joke. But the thing is that she's saying, how can you have one virus And so now the aliens are seeing that we're getting on top of that virus. So then I
told
her another variant. And she said, watch, this is sure that variant, there's going to be another one, another. And I said, daughter, please, don't put that in the universe.
Yeah.
But that's her thinking. But she is,
she
is using safe practices because, you know, she still has to go to work and pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And while doing that, I'm shouting out to all the essential workers. All essential workers,
yeah.
No matter where you are, the ones that's got to take care of their moms, their dad. I'm sending out all of that, the thank you. Even the fast food people, when I drive up to the drive-thru to get me something to eat because I'm too lazy to cook, and I run out in my little PJs and go to the drive-thru, those people, I always give them an opportunity. You know, I tell them, thank you. Thank
yeah.
you for your service,
mm-hmm.
because you're here serving me when you don't have to
they
be
have to.
And you're scared to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do that. So I'm asking all you listeners out there, any time that you pull up and you're going to the store or you're getting some food from the fast food place, just give those people a shout out and thank you for your service.
And it'll go a long way.
And yes. And that lady literally cried to me. She says, I'm so scared. If she was at Burger King,
mm-hmm.
I am so scared to be to work, but I got to take care of my kids. And she was pregnant. She was expecting.
Oh.
And she said, I am terrified, but I have to do this because I have no way to pay my bills.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally in tears. And I said, I wish there was some way I can help you. I wish there was a magic wand and I could say, hey, the city is hiring. But right now we know that we don't know how they're hiring or whatever. And speaking of that hiring, did you hear about the situation with the Mayor Bottom have passed about no testing on free employment?
I did.
What do you think about that?
I'm trying to figure out what do you mean? Or are you not allowing people in all sectors of the city? Is that for every sector? Because I know on certain sectors, for police, you don't need those people that have dependency issues working.
Okay.
Because they're not going to be in the right mind. Well, you never know when they will be in the right mindset.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure we have some people that are on some type of medication, but on actual drugs, I don't know. I don't think that's going to work. And not in every sector of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Not. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure what her rationale was. I haven't heard that.
You haven't heard back.
I did have a meeting with the Department of Human Resources, Jeffrey Norman, the commissioner, interim commissioner, and we had a very good meeting. And we was with the deputy commissioner Danielle Nichols and Michael Kirkwood. And shout out to those folks, especially Mr. Kirkwood, who is the new labor management director. Yes, he's always responsive, and Danielle and them, all his team is always responsive.
Yeah.
And so I'm giving a big shout out to them. And to think that, I mean, we had a good meeting, but we still didn't get the rationale of why. And I don't think we really engaged in that conversation. We had so much. But we're going to meet again this week, I think Wednesday or Friday.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask them about that. Because I wouldn't want anyone to be beside me.
Exactly.
And, you know, you might bring them in without taking that drug testing.
Y'all need your mind status altered at all.
Right.
That's my issue.
Right. Especially during the pandemic.
Well,
you don't want any. Okay, say I hire someone without doing a drug test. And technically, to be honest with you, as smart as these people is today, they can pass a drug test coming
in. Yes, they can.
So maybe it's cost effective that she did that. Saying that we were wasting a lot of money on doing that.
Because they still find some on drugs.
Because you're going to be clean coming in and then still be dirty while you're here.
Yeah.
And the only thing that the DOT is only if you have a CDL that comes down from DOT to send you to a random drug test. And I think really right now, none of that's going on because of the pandemic.
Probably.
And so, and then the stress and anxiety could make people that are prone to do alcoholism and drugs and stuff probably are doing it and doing it more.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, to not give you a screening like that, she had to have a good reason for that. And if it is caught because it's cost saving, you know, it's a double-edged sword because we're in pandemic. We're losing a lot of money from the city. You know, the city is not gaining as much revenue because of the pandemic. And budget is coming up. And we don't want to lose employees. So at this point, you know, what can you say? But until I hear what the rationale is and until we can talk more in depth, I'll let the listeners know next week and get some comments and calls in to see what their thoughts are on it.
Okay. So this morning we had our, at the communications department, they having a kickoff. It's going to be an annual new thing that they're doing.
Uh-huh.
To kind of just promote a little positivity within the center. I had to get up at 7 to go. I was really tired. But it was really good. I did I'll let you see the video after the show today. It was extremely, it was just really good. But we had the throughout the video there was a positive speaker. And the speaker was speaking on you didn't come this far to come this far.
Uh-huh,
you know,
uh-huh.
Set bigger things. Once you hit this mountain, go to a bigger mountain.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's just how it is. And then also, I can't even think of her name, the chaplain came.
Okay.
And she did a prayer. Man, her voice is beautiful. She just
okay.
have a good anointing on her voice. She just, you could tell she's a preacher. But that was so, it was really good. It was inspiring. They did two groups, and then we'll do the next group today at 3, and then on the 4th, they'll do day watch and morning watch, and then evening watch. That's the one I was telling you about. I want
okay.
you to get to come to at least the evening watch to that
okay.
group and just kind of give something. I did speak about pace a little bit, but I'm sure they would just love to see your face in the building a little bit, even with the pandemic.
Well, you gonna have a walking shield with me?
Well, you can have your shield. And speaking of the shield, so last week we were talking about you were supposed to be talking in reference to bringing the plexiglass.
Yes.
To the city, to
yes.
the center, because we don't have any. And it's been almost a year since this pandemic, and I can't believe we never had any.
And it's sad that nobody comes out and think outside of the box as Pace does.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Pace brings it up to the forefront, it's like, you know, who are they to think of something like that when
yeah.
we didn't think of that? Instead
yeah.
of just embracing our ideas
just,
and
just
suggestions,
go with it. Exactly.
Just go with it and do it.
Yeah.
Because we are the voice of the people out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I did mention this to DHR in our conversation last week, and hopefully when we meet this Wednesday or Friday, they're in the process of getting this together. We got the email to confirm the meeting date and time that I would have an answer, because I basically told them there should be no question. Find out, purchase it, and
mm-hmm.
get it hung up.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, we can, you know, if I have to buy them, I don't know how expensive it is.
I don't know.
If I have to buy them, but I see them up in some stores, convenience
yeah.
stores.
And I'm surprised.
And you can hang it from
the
wheel. It's just transparent, clear, plexiglass. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, everybody has. What other departments in the city have we went to any other departments in the city to see if they are here adhering to safety, social distancing conditions right now? We don't know.
We don't know, and that's why I really have been kicking my foot at the Citywide Safety Committee, because this is what we birthed them to do. This is part of PACE's initiative since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been asking for a committee that's actively in certain situations. And this is one of those situations. Nobody expected a pandemic. But as I said in the last week, it was created to help us unify across
mm-hmm.
the city anything that we need to do for safety so we can be consistent
mm-hmm.
and all of the departments are doing it at the same time. So far, the only ones that I know that have adopted some of our initiatives and is Department of Public Works on the and I think Watershed is just not coming on board pretty good. You know, they've all
yeah.
Watershed has always had their own
yeah.
safety
yeah.
thing, but I think they're starting to see partnership that we need to have in collaboration to get everything done consistently.
Yeah.
Because some employees that's out there essential may go from one spot to another
exactly.
to fleet with their trucks and all this. And we got to try to get a grab a hold on not spreading. We can't stop it, but
mm-hmm.
let's try the best we can to stop or minimize some, not stop, but minimize the spreading of this.
So where are we with the mandating of the mask? Have we gotten any far with that?
Well, Department of Public Works have strongly encouraged, and they sent out a whole mass of, I saw that the other day, an email,
mm-hmm.
no mask, no service.
Now, you did see Marta even doing it, too.
Yeah.
I saw that on our news. Marta
no mask, no service.
And,
so,
and it's fair.
Whether the governor wants to say mandatory to wear masks or not, I think it is something that all entities, if you're a government,
yeah.
I mean, if you're a city, or if you're a private owner, or if you're a business,
Walmart,
no mask, no service.
Yeah.
You got to wear your mask because that helps minimize the spread of this virus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have your mask on, you don't get service. So I told my team, unfortunately, and I'll take the hit if I'm doing something wrong, and I was willing to take the hit. If someone comes to your window for service and they do not have a mask on, you do not serve them. You tell them, put your mask on, ma'am or sir, and then we would be glad to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, no mask, no service. And I think that's the way it should
be. I think it should be that way, too.
Because think about it. If you are in a truck and you're riding out there in the field, and to get to your job, you got to ride four of us in a truck, two of us in a truck.
Exactly.
First of all, I got a problem with that.
And I was going to say, they're not 6 feet apart.
They're not 6 feet apart. You should be wearing a mask, and that should be mandatory to get in this truck.
Mm-hmm.
You better have your mask on.
Because you're putting each other at risk.
You're putting each other at risk, and that spread of this disease is going so far in sanitation, I'm almost heartfelt to hear about every time. It's, you know, when you get that DPW message, someone tested positive at the Lakewood or Fleet, and it's really coming around now. And they need to, we got to get a grasp on all
we
of this.
We do. We have to. So within the city, all the departments that are essential workers that are currently working, say for instance they have an issue with something, that was they would bring their issues to, if they're union members, to PACE to voice their concerns, right?
Right.
Safety issues or anything like that.
Right.
Right. Okay. That's good. That's a good thing. So, you know, what I find a lot within the city, the employees or the people I've said before, we don't read a lot.
No.
And with our SOPs we have and all of that.
With the disciplinary actions?
Yes.
That is a problem. But I can say this. I got an email today, and hats off again. Kudos to Labor Relations Department and Mr. Michael Kirkwood, Danielle Nichols, and definitely Candace Harmon, that team right there.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, they started something that we've been asking for years. And unfortunately, the last commissioner that was on board didn't get a chance to get that. That was one of the things we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Was when you have an open case and we file a grievance or we file a formal complaint about whatever's going on with the management or whatever the case may be, an investigation should be made by the Department of Human Resources. And once that investigation is done, then a closure letter should be sent out to that party and their whoever's should be on the correspondence saying, this is our findings, you know, just doing a briefing to close it out. So that person would have something in their hands that the labor relations did the investigation. They found it guilty, not guilty. And what was the, how would they handle it? How was it going to be? How did it get fixed? And saying this is case now is closed. And that's something that hadn't been done. But now I got our first closure letter.
Really?
And I was very impressed. So impressed that I called the HR representative and let her know and gave her accolades. And Michael Kirkwood, for all the listeners out there, and your team, thank you, Ms. Candace Harmon. That was a perfect letter. And whoever asked you to, and I'm sure there's Mr. Kirkwood and Ms. Danielle Nichols on, as a team, that's what this union is looking for.
It's called
professional communication.
Professional.
That's what you do. That's what I call professional etiquette and communication. And the employee wants to know, have you done with my complaint
exactly.
or my grievance?
So before we get to that part of it, what are the beginning stages? A lot of employees don't even know from a basic reprimand to a write-up, what are those progressive stages of discipline? And every department I know have adopted their own, but there is a city ordinance, right?
There is a city ordinance, and it's under Section 114.528. It might, if I'm right or wrong about, might be 526 through 528, but it's one section 114 in the Muni Code has already spelled out what grievances are, how you go about doing a grievance, and what constitutes a grievance, what you can grieve, what you can't grieve. But you can always, if there's something that you can't grieve, you can always file a complaint. Now, the union, PACE, normally assists the member employee as the representative, and we help them file the grievance so that make sure that it's done appropriately. And what a lot of employees don't know, once you file that grievance, a copy of that grievance goes to labor relations to put them on notice that a formal grievance is going through the chain. And the first thing that the employee has to know, well, who is my chain of command? Because there is a process that you have in days, there's a timeline on when you submit this grievance, and it's up to the employee to make sure that that grievance gets to the appropriate person.
So if a grievance has been placed upon me, right? Someone said they've given a grievance, whatever it was that I did, knowing
against
or
unknowing,
against me.
Okay.
I'm supposed to know within a time frame or no? I don't know.
And well, so, technically, if you are the supervisor.
Okay.
And the grievance is against you as the direct supervisor.
Okay.
Normally, that grievance goes above you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come to you. It goes to the next step. But if you're the third step, and or if they do that, then you should be known. They will call you in. You won't know right away that a grievance is filed against you to DHR, or, you know, once it goes from management,
okay,
say you're the supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And a grievance is against you, and I send it to my manager. My manager, in turn, should be having a meeting with me and you to try to resolve it before it goes to the next level.
Okay.
If there's not a resolution, that means they should be calling in a meeting. Me and you should be having a meeting together with that manager, with a union rep, with an HR person. If it cannot get resolved, if that the person that's the grievance, that's serving the grievance, cannot resolve it, they have the right to go to the next level, which normally would be the director or commissioner.
Okay.
If that still cannot be resolved at that level, then that's when labor relations picks this grievance up. So you will be on notice at the first onset that they have the meeting with you that so-and-so has filed a grievance, and this is why, and what is your response. Now, they may talk with you one-on-one first, or they may call you in and have a meeting together. It just depends on your hierarchy, how they want to do it. But at the end of the day, if it can't get resolved from your commissioner level down, then labor relations will step in and do an investigation and decide how we're going to fix this and why. But normally the unions try to, I found that 95% of it all the time is communication and lack of.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the other 5% that just ain't going to do what they need to do.
Yeah, you do.
So let's put the elephant out of the room.
You do.
You got a 5% of employees just not going to do what they need to do.
That's true.
Regardless. So if you look it up, and it's the progressive steps, back to your point, is normally a counseling. Some departments call it coaching. Some call it counseling statements. The counseling is still one-on-one with you and your supervisor. And that is showing you what you've done wrong, what you have violated, and giving you, it should show what there is some room for correction, how to correct it, and give you some help in correcting it. And then give you a timeline on how long. There should be no coaching letter and no oral admonishment sitting out there forever and ever.
Okay.
That's not the point of that. That's just to let you know what I'm seeing that you're doing wrong, what you have done wrong, and how can I help you, listen to you. That's a one-on-one session. Now, that stays inside the supervisor's file up till some places have 90 days, some say a year. But normally, an oral admonishment should be only 90 days in the supervisor's file. After that 90 days, if that supervisor or manager is doing their due diligence, they should be purging their files anyway, and it's destroyed and gone away. So the next level, now the code says, unless it's changed, I can't remember, but the code says you can give up to 2 counseling, okay, for the same offense, up to 2 counseling. After that, but it depends on the severity of what it is.
Exactly.
After that, it goes to the reprimand stage. From the reprimand stage, if you've done this, the reprimand now goes in your personal file, personnel file for its eternity. You don't want to get a reprimand because that's something that stays in your personnel file. Then it goes from the person, from the reprimand to the adverse action, proposed adverse action.
And that means either you get days in the street?
Well, it just depends. You can get some days in the street or you get terminated. It just depends on what you've done.
Something
they can request it. Yeah. But then you have an opportunity if you're a classified employee, grades 18 and below, normally classified employees, they have civil service rights for hearing. you have the opportunity to respond in writing or in person your side of the story. And then that panel who is should be who you're responding to decides we either gonna do away with it, we found you not guilty, or we gonna minimize it, or we gonna stand fast with what's being recommended.
Okay.
And so that's where the union now. We the union, we at my level, I say my level, I'm the president of the union, so I really try not to do too many representations because we have representatives for that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets to dealing with the money and termination, I normally turn that over to the union's attorney because that's when you've got to really do some investigations and we're going from there because we're talking about a person's income and or if they're going to lose their job.
Yeah.
So we don't just send regular representative. This is where the attorney gets involved.
Okay.
If the department heads decide if they're going to stand fast for termination or put you 30 days in the streets. So if this is why it's so important that you listeners out there, if you're not a member, and you know of someone that's not a member, that you need to join PACE. And if you're interested in joining PACE, you can email me at gpacnotta@atlantaga.gov. I'm in the city's email. Or you can do Ebby.
At emwalton@atlantaga.gov as well.
And just request for an application. We'll send over you an application. Fill it out. Email it back to us. I'll approve it and forward it to payroll so payroll can deduct your dues that comes out of payroll. It's $16 every payroll period, and it automatically comes out of your dues. So that's pretty much on a disciplinary side, and
okay.
It wouldn't hurt if management and leaders read so they'll know what you should and shouldn't do.
Exactly. I agree. I
totally agree. You have wine garden rights, so that means all your managers need to know that if you have a meeting with one-on-one, and even though it's a counsel, something, well, we're just counseling them for something they did bad. Yeah, but the way you wording it, it says if you continue to do this, it's going to lead up to termination, blah, blah, blah. That is an onset
of disciplinary action.
Right. That is the onset of disciplinary action. You're putting that person on notice. So if they're beginning to, in the first set of that meeting, feel like this is going in a different direction than just a one-on-one to talk about my job duties and expectations, they have a right to stop the meeting, have it rescheduled, and have a union representative present with HR.
Okay, is there a time frame for that?
Well, it should be within 24 hours that you can give us, unless it's dealing with drugs and alcohol, because we have zero tolerance for that. If you fail that drug test and all of that, there's really not much we can do about it unless it's extenuating circumstances that for whatever reason. Now, at very rare times, it's only when you've been sent down to have a drug test and you were sent down wrongfully. So, you know, but that's a whole different ball game, and we don't have too much of that anymore right now.
Okay, that's good. I know once they are hired in the city, all the cities, I know they have to give them the booklet, the beginning of the pamphlet, to read up on all the SOPs, what is required for you, and, you know, everything that you need to know as an employee.
Well, you know, and they should give out the Section 14. They should give out the whole Muni code in the book.
They should put it in there.
They should.
Or but, either give you access to it, because it's a lot.
Right.
It is a lot.
It's a lot, but I think managers, and I say this all the time, I think managers need to know
They do.
Because if you don't know the code, managers and directors and commissioners, PACE is coming after you.
Yeah, we got
the top of the line attorneys, and you wrongfully terminate these people, that's not a threat. You got to do your due diligence, like you asking for these employees to do their due diligence. We're gonna come and make sure that these employees are get fair treatment.
And sometimes that can go, that can just be so bad because you end up having us stuck with an employee that we know shouldn't be there, but because...
That's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, because somebody didn't do their due diligence in knowing the code and your SOP.
Well, if you have a member, let me say this now, differentiate between your regular employee and a member.
Exactly.
Now, all of them are city employees. All of us are city employees, but if you're a member of PACE, we want you to be honest with us. And one thing, if you everybody know, the listeners know that are members that know about my works and my ethics, I will not tolerate a liar. If you get to me, do I need to repeat that?
No, go ahead.
I will not tolerate a liar in my face. That's like you paying thousands of dollars to an attorney that that you need, or you've been accused of murdering somebody,
mm-hmm.
or you've been accused of stealing, whatever the case may be, and you go and tell this attorney, no, it wasn't me, no, it wasn't
yeah.
me,
yeah.
and then you get up there before, I guess they call it when you send the documents out,
mm-hmm.
Where they have to see whatever the evidence is to your attorney, and they get a big old camera picture of you standing right there with a knife in your hand,
with blood
right there in that person's body,
that's
or
true.
That big old camera catching you with all that stuff you stole,
everything.
And you don't lie to your attorney.
Now, that's the whole point of having the relationship. That's where management needs to understand the purpose of PACE. If you have a good working relationship with PACE, then you guys are going to be on the same page, like mother and father, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the employees, what I've had happen is an employee will come and say one thing to me,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe they're upset about the situation. They didn't get the results they wanted. So they'll come and say one thing. And what I've learned is they'll tell me a half truth.
Mm-hmm.
But because the relationship is so good, when I take it back to management, I say, hey, this employee said X, Y, and Z. That management said, well, okay, let me tell you what happened. And then show me the actual situation, whether
mm-hmm.
it be by email or whatever. So now I can put the pieces together. But you lied.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So when we bring them before each other together,
mm-hmm.
they're not expecting that. They're thinking that PACE is supposed to be this big old pit bull against, no offense, but the pit bull against the department, the management department, when that's really not the case. The case is to be in unity, in
mm-hmm.
unison with each
mm-hmm.
other, so we can have a unified front. So when we bring
mm-hmm.
it to the employee, now they're looking like, oh, you went and y'all found out the truth, huh? So you couldn't get over
mm-hmm.
on either one. We got
mm-hmm.
the whole story together, and
mm-hmm.
we're here, and we want to solve the issue, but you got to be truthful.
You got to be truthful, but it's like pitting mama against daddy.
Yeah.
And the sad thing about it, and some, and not a lot, but every now and then, when a person, a member lies or don't tell the truth, my mother always said, don't say lie. That's such a bad word. No, you're grown.
It's
you
truth.
Lie.
That's the right
children
is.
Tell stories. Grown folk lie.
Yes.
And so when you basically lie, what you have done, you're trying to sabotage the
mm-hmm.
relationship that PACE has had with labor management, or with counsel,
mm-hmm.
or with any strong relationship that we have built. And it's not that we're on the managerial side, because trust and believe,
mm-hmm.
wherever we find who is wrong,
that's
who's wrong, we're coming after you if you did this intentionally, if you just didn't know. But the bottom line is, if you did it, tell me you did it.
That's it.
And then all I know is to go in and try to lobby for you for a weaker sentence,
mm-hmm.
or not to terminate, look at your records, this is a good, stellar employee, something has happened. But when you get in there and you tell stories and you tell lies,
it's gonna come out.
And then we sitting in there looking like a fool,
yes.
I am not going to look like a fool.
Exactly.
I've had that happen one time too many, and I vowed, as your president going forward, because I got to look at the whole union,
you hope.
I cannot go in looking like a fool for one member to have me not have the relationship building.
Exactly.
And the reason we have a relationship building is this, that we have a good relationship. We're not always going to have a win-win
yeah.
with a agree to disagree at point. But if I got a good relationship with HR,
mm-hmm.
okay, where we have our battles, because trust and believe, they know we have our battles. But I can go to them and say, listen, get this person one more time. We
exactly.
lobby for you.
Exactly.
Okay? We lobby. And that's what I mean by building relationships. I'm not talking about building relationships.
Yeah.
Oh, we on the management side. Oh,
yeah.
We on this side. We don't know, but we on the right side.
And I think that's what the thing is. The perception of a union is to help and keep the bad people, when that's not really the case. It's to merge a relationship. So you have a relationship with management, merge that with the employee so we can fight bigger things together, like pay raises and plexiglass. You know, that's the whole purpose.
And, right, right.
It's not to go against manager and employee. It's to
uh-huh,
merge
uh-huh,
together
uh-huh.
that relationship to lobby for other stuff that really matters.
And they don't understand.
They don't get it.
But and even management don't understand.
They don't get it either, because unions are a pain in the butt for them.
The new regime, I think, is coming on board to see the benefactors of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And they are appreciative. At least they tell me to my face they're appreciative. Don't know what they say behind my back, but at least to my face they're appreciative.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing some things that's being done of our suggestions.
And it makes it better.
And even they may have suggested it before we came to them, but at least it lets us know that you're doing something that we asked for.
That's all.
And that's the kind of, and like right now, when Pace goes before council to show you how good of a relationship,
mm-hmm.
they know I don't come before them with mess.
Exactly.
When they see me coming, I remember Mr. Shook said one time when we before the pandemic, we used to have to go in person. And he saw me come in. He said, oh, Lord. He said, must be serious. I see Pace in the house. So that kind of made me feel good.
Yeah,
but then again, it was an issue that I had to get to them because I couldn't get it done anywhere
exactly,
else.
Exactly.
So that's the kind of relationship. And they took me serious. And we got it resolved.
And you don't want any of these little bitty baby relationships, baby situations that could be handled within the department. By the time it comes to you, it should be something that's so serious, so big,
right,
that this is really an issue. And it's not just going to affect one person. It's going
right.
to affect them all.
And that's what we have to look at, our whole unit.
Exactly.
And the thing is, you know if you got to be work on late. You know what time you're supposed to come to work. So if you're coming in late all the time and they're starting to write you up, you still have a right to representation that, you know, we want to make sure that due process is done correctly. You have that, and we'll do that. But if I'm seeing a timeline where they're showing me that you're not, okay, let's talk about this. Why are you coming in late? Let's try to work this out with your management team. Here's where the good working relationship comes, okay? This is the situation where, listen, they're having issues here, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you talked to them about it? Can you reschedule another schedule for them or whatever the case may be? This is where we lobby for you. And then, and of course, you got employees that are too afraid to talk.
Yes.
Some of them can't talk. They get scared. They get the mumbling and stuttering.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bad manager will use that weakness and just talk over them, talk any kind of way to them. And so that's why you need the union, to unify, to speak for the people that can't speak for themselves, to lobby for you with counsel, with the administration, with HR. And we got a pretty good team Pace has with our representatives and our attorneys.
We do.
That's on shout out to Rita Cherry, who is our one of our attorneys that's dedicated to Pace. And she's been doing an exceptional well job. Shout out to Anna and Mike, all these members out there that know Anna Avado and Mike Pulliam. Mike is a big old teddy bear.
He is.
Oh, my God. He's an ACD officer.
Yeah.
But
he
still is, you know.
He's handsome now.
Woo, you got to be quiet, girl, about that.
Mike is, and he is a, like, don't let him worry. Big old teddy bear.
He's just the sweetest pie.
He is.
We had a meeting one time, but let me tell you something. He don't play either.
I know he don't.
Because he can read them out. When we used to go on representations and persons together, it was one time I'll never forget it. This is going in my history book. And we was at this big table at Watershed, and they had some corrupt leaders. Those are not, they're no longer there. Well, we knew there was. And so they were trying to give me a hard time, but that's, I guess that's where the pit bull comes in.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to give me a hard time, and I was biting back. Mike got up, and he said, well, you don't tell us what to do. This is what they were telling me. You can't tell us what to do, like you can arrest us. And Mike stood up, took his badge out, and slung it over there on the corner and said, she can't, but I can. And girl, I thought I would fall out of that chair. It took everything I had in me to keep my composure. But the bottom line is that we have a good team with Pace.
Yeah.
And we're about what's fair, what's in black and white.
That's it. That's
See,
it.
The thing that people get off, the thing that people get out of misinterpreting what discipline is, you don't just discipline. You also have to encourage and lead these people.
And I think that's what the issue is. Discipline comes off so hard. And I spoke to Kenneth Butler, 311, the director there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I spoke to him, it was a couple of weeks ago. And I had the conversation was just, it was a wonderful conversation. How he just gave me a different insight just to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at discipline like the word says, discipline. What comes when you hear that word discipline, you think bad. But that's not how he presents it to his staff.
Mm-hmm.
The way he does is this, he said this is a disciplinary action, right? But this is, you're signing this information. This is just a reminder that you and I spoke about this, and you have agreed that there are going to be some changes made, and I'm just going to make sure we make those changes.
Right.
And that's a whole different way to look at things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The employee doesn't feel like they're being slapped on the hand. you know, they feel like, okay, we're working something out. Okay, this is an issue that's been brought to my attention. And okay, I will work this out. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. No problem. This is the agreement. And my signature marks the stamp on the agreement.
That's called vetting. And I think the employee would feel good about that other than being intimidated.
Yeah, when you pick them, I know how ours is. I know when we see one person get up and go to that bathroom, everybody here is like, oh, God. That is just the whole, it shouldn't be done that way.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a different way to bring that about. And we're trying to do it a different route, because when one person gets up, everybody knows when they headed to the back offices, it's going to be something. And usually it's not. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But it just have that stigma with it.
And you know what I hate, though, even as an employee, and my manager and I got it straight, and he does pretty good with me and my team. And I do pretty good with my team. I hate when a leader calls you on a Friday, say, I'm going to have a meeting with you Monday, but don't tell you what it's about.
Oh.
You got that
you
whole weekend and you're stressed out. You guys, quit doing that.
That's so
bad. I mean, just tell the employee if you want to meet with Friday.
I think
normally back in the day, Fridays is when they're going to let you go.
Yeah.
And tell me Friday morning or Thursday night. Don't tell me and work all day Friday and tell me we no longer need you.
Yeah.
But the thing is, just tell a person, listen, I want to have a one-on-one with you Monday. It's in regards to blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Or, you know, just let them know so they won't be.
Yeah.
And not just have to be Friday. It could be any time.
Yeah.
I want to meet with you on Sunday. So here's the subject, blah, blah, blah. We all adults and we all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I'm hoping what I've been asking for is I wanted to have, and maybe going on later on down the line, we can request a virtual meeting with supervisors and managers.
That's
from DHR,
yes.
For PACE to have a meeting through Teams meeting,
mm-hmm.
to have answers and questions to the union to say, okay, here's a scenario. What do we do? Let's have a meeting so we can tell you, help you.
What it is they cannot do.
And how can we partner with you
mm-hmm.
to help you make your division, because we're here to represent
mm-hmm.
the employees first
mm-hmm.
and foremost.
Mm-hmm. And before Director Pritchett left over the 911 center last year, that's what, remember, we were discussing,
mm-hmm.
trying to get something together for management first.
Mm-hmm,
and supervisors
mm-hmm.
so they can all be on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes from there. But you have to. That's another good thing with PACE. That's the purpose of it.
Right.
Is to do that.
Well, you know, we've been talking and I see people calling, but they're not making comments. They're listening. And we appreciate you guys on the listening and not wanting to make a comment. But you can always drop a comment or send us an email on a subject that you want to talk about, or you can send it to the chat box.
Send it to the chat box.
And the thing that some folks has asked us, been calling in to want to talk about, and I'm really not sure that I want to go into detail with this, because it's one of these things that you can have, it's like you don't discuss religion and politics at a certain event.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're talking about the situation that happened of the disciplinary of the officers, which we're talking about disciplinary.
Yes, yes.
And let me say this. I have no pros and cons and no issues, positive or negative, about any of the situation. The only thing I have to say is that any city employee, regardless if it's a firefighter, sworn or non-sworn, any city employee has the right to due process.
Yes.
Okay? Let me say that from a union standpoint. You have a right to due process, which means there are already city codes out there followed. And then the police and fire have what you call an OPS, something that they do. But whatever it is that they do, it's still supposed to be a process. Now, if in a union on the general side, if the city fails to do the due process, that's where the union comes in and shows their fallacies, hey, you failed to do due process. And sometimes, no matter how bad it seems, oh, my God, I can't even fathom on a sworn. I don't think I could ever be a union person on the sworn side for fire and police. I'm happy right
different.
Where I am. That's a totally different story, because we're talking about potential cost of lives.
Yes.
We're talking about potential injury to bodily
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And right now in this world, you know, it's so much divisiveness between police officers
mm-hmm.
and general people. And all I'm saying is, regardless of what happened, from a union's perspective, we have to follow due process. Now, not saying that you got some corruption. Now, we know we all have corruption, not just on a police side or fire side. We got corruption in general side.
Exactly.
And I mean corruption as far as leaders not doing what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
That type of corruption. So listeners, I appreciate you wanting us to chat about that, but I don't want to get into detail with that. So I'm going to end it right there unless you have something to say on that, because we're not attorneys.
Yeah.
I don't know the whole case. I can only speak from a union side, and I'm just hoping that everything was done appropriately, the investigations was done accurately, and whatever happens was done by the due process and protocol.
So is there a specific incident that you're referring to?
Well, one of the I got a comment regarding, I think, the officers that's supposed to be coming back. I didn't even read things.
The reinstatement of the officers. The July incident with the teenagers.
Okay. Well, you know more about it because you're in the 911 center. But
yeah, like you said, it's no positive, no negative toward it, but everyone is entitled to their due process. When this conversation comes up with my family or friends, it's always because they're going to see it one way, and, you know, we see it a different way. But it's two videos I know that were out there, and they just only showed one.
Uh-huh.
And so when you just show one, the media, you know, they play their role, and they play it well. Just like yesterday, there was an incident with Fulton County. They had an officer, but they don't show the whole video. And the media does that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
They do what they do on purpose, just like for crimes in certain places.
Just like the pandemic.
They show what they want to show to ignite fear, chaos, whatever they want to do, they do, because that's what gets ratings, you know. So I don't have any positive negatives either way. I am glad I can say that they are given that opportunity to get their jobs back, because they are giving back pay to them as well. They have to give them their back pay that they've been out, and they're reinstating their jobs. Whether they take them or not, I'm not sure. I probably wouldn't want it after that, but I mean, to get them their due process. And I think it was the attorney who was the attorney then.
I'm not sure, because I didn't even follow that. You know, unfortunately, I didn't follow their, you know, did they have a, I don't remember who their attorney was. And I don't even know if, I can't think of his name, but
he didn't make it. The lady won. The district attorney?
I can't remember, but the listeners out there, let's say this, Ebony. When it comes to, again, whether they were right or whether it was wrong, that's a moral issue to me.
It is.
And ethical issue.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the city, as I'm concerned, for a union's perspective that represents, or an attorney that represents, they're going to do fact-finding.
You have to.
And once you do fact-finding, did they follow due process? If they follow due process, I know it's hurting.
Yes.
I feel for the people. Mm-hmm. I feel for the people that were injured. I feel for the people, the families and all.
Exactly.
But at the same time,
everybody's entitled to.
You know, it's not left up to us. That's above our heads. But I pray for them all.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that this world, we need to start just following due processes and do due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Because those officers might have been out with no money and no pay. They have been. And, you know, it's sketchy. It's a double-edged sword, as
it
I
is.
Always say, because you come back to work and the eyes is all
on you.
And I wouldn't know if I would have wanted to come back.
Yeah, I would.
You know, but I would want my name cleared.
I would.
And see, this
goes
back to what I was telling you about DHR, labor relations.
Yeah.
Like when we had this talk about the commissioner that left from the city of Atlanta.
Oh,
remember that scandal?
I remember.
Face all over the news.
Everywhere.
And everything.
Face
was everywhere on the news. And
can you come back from something?
Well,
like
if the city decides to take a stand that, hey, we made a mistake,
mm-hmm.
or we did a thorough investigation and found out that this was not substantial.
Exactly.
So we either offer the job back to the person, or, you know, we make her sizable, say, okay, you know, but at least put something out there to say that this person is clear so they can get another job. But I think where they're afraid of doing that, because if we did something wrong, again, I was saying not doing the right thing,
exactly.
not following due process,
exactly.
and we come back with something in writing and said we made this mistake or
mm-hmm.
you were found not guilty, then you they're feeling like, well, maybe that person can sue the city.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be a way that once your face is out there on that bullet out there and find out quietly
yeah.
that you were innocent, they need to go back on the news or make a statement
yeah.
to say we did an investigation and found that these allegations were not profound.
Yeah.
So that person can have a life going forward.
Exactly.
Because I've heard too many times from people saying, man, that's it, you know, mm-hmm. I can't never get a job from working with the city. They have tarnished my name.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna,
and that's a lot of people.
We don't want that to happen. We want our city to flourish. We want our city to grow. We want our city to be this thriving city where it's wonderful, like we used to be proud
exactly.
to come to work and wear that city uniform. And we don't want it to be tarnished. And, you know, with people coming from all over the states to come here to work,
mm-hmm.
and then you hear this in about, what, 90 days? Well, that's the city way.
That's the city, yeah.
You know, well, what is
the
city way? That's those unwritten rules and regulations going on.
Thank God for the city.
Yeah.
It's the city equipment. That's how it is, you know.
Yeah.
That's
we're hoping that Mayor Bottoms is our mayor right now, and I know she's been offered some positions up in Washington, D.C., and that's a grand slam, man. Wow, what an honor,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be awarded whatever position. I wouldn't know how to act if President Biden would call little old me and say, you know, we got something up here for you, Gina. I wouldn't know would I take it or not. Yeah, even though I'd be scared of the pandemic and flying, I'll drive
exactly.
to you. But that's a privilege and an honor. So hats off to Mayor Bottoms for being even considered to be part of the
yeah.
Washington elite. And but I know our national president, President Holloway, he's also been offered on a committee through President
oh, really?
Biden with the union laboring. Yeah, so hats off and kudos
that's
to President
good.
Holloway.
That's good.
Because we fought hard and, you know, that's our national. So President Holloway fights hard for labor. For us down
yes,
here.
Do.
And
yes,
I'm also
do.
A national vice president on his team. So that was an honor. So
mm-hmm.
since that's the honor for me, I know I'd be elated if I went to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not throwing that out there to go to Washington. I'm comfortable right where I am, you guys. So it's always been a pleasure. So we got a few minutes left on our podcast today. I think we hit all the topics that people have wrote in
yeah.
and comment. Pretty soon, we had 100 and how many viewers?
83 last
100
week.
100 last week, and we are growing.
Excited about that. We
oh,
are
yes.
excited.
And you guys, as soon as I keep pressing this Debbie,
get it together.
We're going to try to do this thing where you can see our faces. And,
yeah.
you know, I'm excited about that. But right now, we want to get all the glitch and tweaks out of the podcast, just radio listening in. And then hopefully soon we'll be live on a YouTube channel or
exactly.
a podcast channel where you can actually see us having our cup of tea and talking.
Yeah.
And another person had commented and said, can you all, before you close out the show, you know, do a little gossip? And I said, well, it depends on the gossip because we got to have, as the bloggers say, receipts. But let me let you know, I am not a blogger. We're not blogging.
Not at all.
We're not going to be talking about things that we don't have receipts on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like the word receipt.
Yeah.
We're not in that type of podcast. What we are is a platform for city employees to give out information and to have you the opportunity to call in or just listen in and give you the news of what's going on out there in the world. But if there's something exciting with the city of Atlanta that you like, let us know. We'd be glad to put it out there for you.
Yeah.
And maybe we can do, I even dreamed about us doing, what do you call that, reality show?
Oh, Lord.
Could we
cannot.
Do a City of
I
Atlanta?
Do not.
Tyler Perry, we can do a City of Atlanta reality show.
All
know,
right, then.
How it is to be a real City of Atlanta employee.
All right. So that's the end of the podcast this time. So, we, like you said, we did discuss everything we need to discuss. Everybody out there, remember, stay safe, stay positive, wear your mask.
Wash
Social distance, wash your hands. And until next time, Gina, I'll see you. Radio Connections with Pace.
Yep. Tuesdays, 1 to 2. I'll send you out an email link to remind you and an agenda. And if, again, if you have any issues with stress, anxiety, depression, contact EAP with the city or Kaiser or Blue Cross Blue Shield. And don't forget to get the book, Your Anxiety.
Right.
Take care. We'll see you next week. Talk to you then, everybody. Be safe. Ta-ta.